Well, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And we've been discussing this this series here. The title of the series, of course, Under the Furtherance of the Gospel. What we've been called to do as believers is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And we're going to be reading about that here. And though the gospel is given in every gospel record, all of these different men that had written about the Great Commission, though it has been given in each and every one of them, and also in the book of Acts, I would argue that the most popular passage turned to when speaking of the Great Commission is found here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. You could say verse 16 through 20, either way, it gives the background there. But we're going to be talking today about the Great Commission, and something that I'd like us to see today is we're going to discuss a different aspect of the Great Commission as we look at each gospel according to Mark or Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then also in Acts, and see how the Lord highlighted different things in the Great Commission through each of those occurrences there. So in Matthew chapter 28, we'll be starting out here, verse 19, and then also verse 20, and the Bible says this: "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, before the Lord Jesus Christ left this earth, he instructed us as believers to preach the gospel to every creature. That's what he told us to do. When he said, "Go ye," that is not just speaking of the ones who were bodily there with Christ at that time. That that word "ye" there, translated, of course, from the Greek, it literally means all who hear these words. That's what it means. So every single one of us, we have now heard those words. If you've trusted in Christ as your personal Savior, you've heard that command from God. That is what you are to do. Go ye into all the world and teach. Preach the gospel, of course, teaching all nations. And so that's what we are to do. But he never granted us, notice here, he never granted us the authority to use physical force, if you will, in getting the gospel out. Now, there are each and every one of us, we have ones in our family, we have family members and acquaintances and friends and ones like that, that we can see what sin is doing to their life. And what our flesh wants to do is go in to shake them and say, "You need to get saved." But God didn't call us to do that. What did he tell us to do? Teach all nations. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's what he told us to do. He told us that we are to give the gospel out. Look over at the book of John, if you will. John chapter 6 and verse 63. John chapter 6 and verse 63. Notice what the Bible says here in John chapter 6 and verse 63. It says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." What was Christ speaking unto them? The gospel of Jesus Christ. The words are the life. There's nothing in our flesh that profiteth the gospel. Notice, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. That word "quickeneth" means to be made to life, to be brought to new life. It means to help us, it to be made alive there. The Spirit does that. The words of Christ do that. Because he said that the words that he speaks, they are spirit. Life does not come by force, it comes by the word of God. It's an amazing truth that the one thing that God has given us to do is our greatest failure, isn't it? The one thing that Christ has told all believers to do, it is the one thing that most believers do the least amount of. And we need to get that, of course, straight in our lives. I'm preaching to myself here this morning. So many times we just go throughout our day and we'll talk about everything under the sun except for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This passage that we just read here is considered, of course, the Great Commission, but most churches in today's world, they may be working at things and they're doing many things except for pursuing souls. Many individuals in churches are more interested in the things that we do rather than the souls that we're trying to win. But the greatest kind of fellowship is found in soul winning. Amen. We have a great time going out, and I thoroughly enjoy going out and soul winning with different individuals and being able to get to know them and all of that. It's a wonderful time of fellowship. But the truth is, in our towns and in our cities, most people are lost without Christ, but yet there are less evangelistic activities going on than there ever has been. The world's population is going up, but yet the amount of evangelism is going down. There's something wrong there. With more people, it should mean more evangelism, amen. We need to get the gospel out. We need to be busy all throughout the week giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might find a Christian event, a concert, or some pageant to attend, if you will. But even in churches, most of those things do not even speak of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ, with nail-pierced hands, he gave the Great Commission. And may God stir our hearts into a new beginning of obedience to him in this matter here. So think about the background that's going on here. The Lord Jesus Christ has came. He's died on the cross. He has arisen from the grave here. He's getting ready to ascend into heaven. And he's giving them the Great Commission. It's recorded in the gospel records according to Mark and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, notice here, some people will say, well, this is the gospel of Matthew. No, it's not. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel according to Matthew. Amen. This is what he saw Christ do. This is what he saw Christ say. Also with Mark and Luke and John, all of those, they are the gospel of Jesus Christ. No one can get saved by the gospel of Matthew, but anyone can get saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But here, everything we do should be for the goal of reaching souls. When a church needs to build a building, why is that? To reach souls, to be able to have an impact on people. When churches need to do these different outreaches and those types of things, why are we doing that? Not to just have a good impact on a community, but to have an impact on souls, to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The burden of the church should be to see people saved, to see them obey the Lord in scriptural baptism, to join the church, to yoke up together, if you will. And these are the byproducts of the Great Commission. The emphasis of the New Testament is on every believer becoming a true follower of Jesus Christ. Did you know the subject of discipleship is mentioned 269 times in the New Testament alone? That's a lot of times. But it is mentioned there. We must stop thinking that our task is over when a person has simply made a profession of faith. No, we must approach that person with the idea that they are to come to know Christ as Savior and then become a true disciple of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want us to notice a few things here this morning as we go through this passage. First of all, notice this: five parts make a whole. When you look at the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you look at the Great Commission, you're going to find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, also in the book of Acts. And as you study the Bible, what you're going to find is, of course, that the Bible, one scripture corresponds with another scripture. There are no contradictions in the Bible. And if we find somewhere where our mind says, well, that's a contradiction. Well, if you continue to study it out biblically, you're going to find that it is not a contradiction. We just didn't understand it in the right context in which it was written. So as we find it here, we see the Great Commission that we just read in Matthew chapter 28. You're going to find that it talks about one aspect of the Great Commission. Also, Mark and Luke and John in the book of Acts, all of them are going to talk about different aspects of the Great Commission. So you've got one pie. We all like pie, amen. I love pie. So you've got this pie, and it's got five slices in it. That's my type of pie because it's a great big old slice of pie, amen. But think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Great Commission. Think about what we've been called to do as believers and divide it up into five parts. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Five parts make the whole. As we take each of these five times that the Great Commission is recorded, we find one particular truth in each one. And putting those things together, we get the whole Great Commission. We come to the understanding of what is truly involved in this command. Let's look at these things in order, of course, as Christ gave them. And it's not going to be in the order of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, but it's going to be in chronological order, if you will. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth. He was born of a virgin. He lived an endless life, he lived a life here. He died on the cross of Calvary. He arose forevermore. He will always be alive. He shed his blood for you and me, and he's now ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for you and I. But from the time that he rose from the grave to the time that he ascended into heaven, during that time, he gave these Great Commission references that we're going to be talking about today. Some were given on the day of his resurrection. Other ones were given on the day of his ascension. And these other references were given sometime during those days in which he was in which he rose from the grave and ascended into heaven during that time. So what are these five things? Well, let's discuss them here this morning. First of all, I want you to look at the book of John chapter 20, And notice the first part of the pie of Great Commission is this. We are sent by divine authority. Look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 19 through 21. John chapter 20, verse 19 through 21. Notice the Bible says this. In the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. We are sent by the power of the God of heaven. Also by the power of the Son of God. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. We are sent by divine authority. The first reference we find in the chronology, if you will, of events is the gospel according to John. And notice the disciples were frightened. They were scared. It says there for fear of the Jews. They didn't know what was going to happen to them. They were in this closed room there. And there were 10 disciples in that room. We know that, of course, because Judas was not there, because Judas had hung himself. He was the one who had betrayed Christ. But then also Thomas wasn't there. Remember, doubting Thomas, he wasn't there. Because after this, we're going to find where he says that he would have to see Christ. He would have to feel him with his own hands before he would believe this. So 10 of them were there. Christ had just risen from the dead. This seems to be the very first time after his death, burial, and resurrection that Christ gave this Great Commission. The disciples were in a room gathered together, and Christ appeared in the midst of them. And immediately he established this truth. He said, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. In other words, the Great Commission does not begin with a man. It does not begin with some sad story or something like that. The Great Commission begins with God. It's the very heart of God. The Son of God came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. It's the very heartbeat of God is seeing people saved. The foundation of the Great Commission is the heart of God. God the Father sent God the Son who sent us. You know, almost every missionary report when someone is presenting their ministry or something like that, they talk about how they went to this country and how they were able to go there and witness to some neglected group of human beings or something like that. And what you're going to hear, and I've heard many missionaries say something like this, they'll say, well, when they took the survey trip to that land where they believed that God was calling them, when they took that trip there, what they found is that as soon as they saw the faces of the people, God did a work in their hearts. as soon as they saw those faces. Why? Because they were now seeing the lost souls of men. It wasn't just through some picture. It wasn't just through what someone else said about this land. No, they got there, they saw the need, and they were willing to go. That's because oftentimes that's the point in which God's heart is knit with their heart. And it's an essential point. It all begins with God, because not one of us have the compassion, the concern, or the care that we need for other people without God moving upon our hearts. We often become annoyed with people, don't we? We become disgusted with some individuals if we do not have the right motive for soul winning. The Lord Jesus Christ said, though, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." God said, "Go for me." It all starts with the heart of God. And when we do what we should in the Great Commission, understand we are doing exactly what God desires for us to do. I think all of us would say, "I want to do what God desires me to do in this earth." I think that would be our desire. Well, if so, then we should be reaching souls, understanding that we're sent by divine authority, because that authority is from God. Notice, second of all here, the second piece of the pie. So not only are we sent by divine authority, but second of all, notice we are witnesses. We're witnesses. Look at the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 24. Book of Luke, chapter 24, and look at verse 36. Luke 24 and verse 36. We are witnesses. We're going to look at verse 36, or verse 25 and 26, and then I want to jump over to looking at verse 44 down through a few verses. But notice here, Luke chapter 24, verse 25 and 26. Notice, "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Remember, we talked about how we're witnesses of certain things. We discussed that last week. But notice, as we get over to verse 36, notice it says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. But notice here, it says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." So back in verse 26, he said, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things?" And then notice, as we get over in verse 36 through verse 48, he talks about being witnesses of these things. If we are to fulfill the Great Commission, we must understand that first part is we are sent by divine authority. The second part is that we are witnesses, therefore we are to witness. This is the second time the Great Commission is given. It's found in the Gospel according to Luke. And here we find an amazing statement. On the same day of his resurrection, later in that day, Christ appeared to his disciples, and at this time also the two from the Emmaus Road were with the others. And they gathered together. Of course, it was probably late, because as we read in Luke chapter 24, Christ had traveled with these ones on the Emmaus Road. As he traveled with them, he made himself known unto them. You'll find that throughout that chapter there. And even though it was late in the day during this occurrence, we find that they went from Emmaus to Jerusalem. And they announced to the disciples that Christ had risen, that they had seen him, they had walked with him on the road to Emmaus. And then verse 46 to 48, Christ said, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day," down in verse 48, "and ye are witnesses of these things." He specifically said this, "Ye are witnesses of these things." There is that that word, ye there again. Ye are witnesses. You know, on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, we have our prayer meeting and our Bible study. We've been discussing the topic of biblical discipleship. This past Wednesday, we were talking about how we are to be witnesses and how we should witness. And we mentioned that you cannot witness if you have not witnessed what Christ can do in your life. And understanding someone should trust Christ as their personal Savior, therefore they can go out in the power of Christ and be a witness to others. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, do that today. Trust Him. The work of God will be done through those who are, as Christ said here, witnesses of these things. You know, that word witness that we find there in verse 48, when it says ye are witnesses of these things, that root word witness, it comes from the same root word that we get our English word martyr from. The exact same root word. To be a martyr, it means this, it means to die. When he says, "and ye are witnesses," what he's saying is this, you've died to self, therefore you're living for Christ. That's what we are to be. We are to be witnesses of Christ. So first of all, we see that we are sent in divine authority. Second of all, we are to die to ourselves because we are witnesses of Christ. The third part of the Great Commission is this, that the Lord Jesus is with us as we witness. And that takes us back to Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. We'll just read verse 20 there, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." The Lord Jesus Christ is with us. This is the third time the Great Commission is given, and we see the word go, and also we see the word lo in these few verses here. When the Lord gave this part of the Great Commission after his resurrection, notice here, he revealed something to them and to us that he did not reveal in those other times in which the Great Commission is recorded there. As we compare Scripture with Scripture, I want you to look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And notice what the Apostle Paul said here about Christ's resurrection. He's talking about the witnesses of Christ's resurrection, the ones that were there that saw him at that time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. The Bible says this, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once." So notice here, 500 people saw Christ at one time after he had rose from the dead. And then pick up the other part of this verse. "Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James and of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so ye believed." So notice here, he's talking about 500 people who were assembled. They saw Christ, they listened to Christ speak, and it says here that the greater part remained. We don't know how many that was, it just says the greater part. So it had to be over half of those, over 250 of those ones that had heard Christ speak after his resurrection, they were still alive at that time. And the Lord Jesus Christ commanded them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, we could say, well, if there was a group of over half of 500, so just for easy math's sake, let's say 300 people. I don't know how many it was, but it was over 250. So we'll say 300 people. If there was a group of 300 people that were standing, maybe they were in this building here, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." If we were part of that 300, what we want to tell ourselves is this. Well, if Christ stood here and told this group of people to do that, then this group of people would take the world by force. Go out and tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's not what happened. That's not what happened at all. Some of them did. But you know what we read of many times as we go through the Bible, we hear about people that get saved, and we hear about a faithful remnant of people. There's many people who trust Christ as their Savior that are not witnesses of these things. They're not going out and witnessing. They're not. They don't go out with the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is with them. Notice, he told all of these people, he said, "And lo, I am with you always." Always with us. But yet, many believers live as though they're alone. He was with them and he is with us. The Lord Jesus Christ let his followers know that his work was not accomplished by the power of oratory training or seminars or those types of things. It is by his presence and his power. Continuing the work of Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit, he was with them. He was at work, and we need to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to work through us as well. He was with his disciples. He never once told them, "Go out in your power and see souls saved." No, he told them to go out in his power, and he was with the disciples, no matter where they went, and he's with us as well. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us. There's going to be times in which Satan wants to convince us that we are alone, but we're not alone. The Lord's with us. When we knock on someone's door and that person trusts Christ as their personal Savior, praise the Lord for that, and God is with us. But then there's also times in which we knock on doors and that person doesn't want us there, and they make it very clear that they don't want us there. But the Lord Jesus Christ is still with us. And we should still care about that soul because they're lost and on their way to hell. Not only is the Lord Jesus Christ with us, but notice the fourth piece of the pie, if you will, is miracles take place as the gospel is proclaimed. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 through 18. Miracles take place as the gospel is proclaimed. Mark 16, verse 15 through 18, the Bible says this, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, there's a phrase here that I'd like us to look at here. And notice when he says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Look down at verse 20 and look at those, the first four words of verse 20. "And they went forth." That should be our attitude right there. He says go, therefore we go. immediately. Praise the Lord for that. But notice miracles take place. This is the fourth reference to the Great Commission. And he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And Luke here, he's telling us exactly what Christ revealed to them that are witnesses. Matthew, we see that we go and lo, he is with us. His presence is promised for his work. The gospel according to Mark reveals what's going to happen when the gospel is preached. Marvelous miracles happen. If you're here today, you've trusted in Christ, your personal Savior, you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are saved, understand a miracle has happened in your life. The sins have been forgiven. And every single one of us, it doesn't matter how young you were when you got saved or how old you might have been when you got saved, none of that matters. When you're saved, a miracle has taken place. A miracle. Marvelous things. It's not about sign gifts, but understand this. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Great Commission, is not about the sign gifts, but is about the changed lives. That's what it's about. Many people have been bound by alcohol, but they're set free by that the moment they got saved. Maybe it was drugs or something like that. Maybe some other addiction. And praise the Lord, when they trust Christ as their Savior, God breaks the chains of those things through the power of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a miracle that takes place. My grandfather was an alcoholic for many, many years. When we lived out in Missouri, throughout his younger life and everything, he was involved in rodeos and those types of things. He rode bareback broncos and just all kinds of stuff. But in that crowd that he was in, of course, it was a very alcoholic crowd. I mean, alcohol was prevalent. If you weren't there at the rodeo itself, getting ready to ride a bronco or a bull or something like that, then you were drinking. It's just the crowd that he was around. He was an alcoholic. I can remember many times we would go up to the house there. We were going over to visit Papa and Granny, and my mom would get out of the car. She would walk into the house and while we were in the car, and if he was drinking, she would come back, get in the car, and we would leave. We would not stay. Many times I remember leaving his house. But there was one day where he came to an end of himself. One day when he walked into a Bible-preaching church and the message was given and my grandfather walked forward and trusted Christ as his Savior, and from that day on, he has not had one sip of alcohol. 30-some years now. Not one sip. Or 20-some years now. What happened there? A miracle took place. The power of God was manifested in his life. And it doesn't matter what you've got going on in your life, if you're bound by something, understand this, the power of God can set you free from that. But you have to allow it to. Then notice, lastly here, not only miracles take place as the gospel is proclaimed, but notice the last part of the Great Commission. Notice, there's no place to stop. There is no time on this earth, if you still have breath in your lungs, where God says, you've done enough, you don't have to carry out the Great Commission any longer. And there's no place where God says that's too far to go for the sake of the gospel. Look at the book of Acts, if you will, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6 through verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through verse 8. Very important passage here. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through verse 8, the Bible says this. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Not one time in that verse there do we see something like this. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem or in Judea or in Samaria or unto the uttermost part of the earth. No, he says both this place and this place and this place and this place. That word both, it means this, all at the same time. That's what it means. We are to be witnesses everywhere we go. There is no one that is only called to be a witness in their own Jerusalem. But everyone is called to be a witness in their own Jerusalem. But if you're in your Samaria or your Judea or under the uttermost part of the earth, you are to be a witness there. There's no place to stop. The way that I break it down in my mind is this. Our Jerusalem would be here in Oxford. The Judea would be here in our state of Pennsylvania. Our Samaria would be the United States. The uttermost part of the earth would be, of course, the other countries. In my mind, that's just how I break it down in my mind there, because it's different sections in which and places that people go. But it doesn't matter if you are in the middle of Times Square in New York City, where there's millions of people that seem to be at your disposal at all times, someone to talk to, or else, or if you're on a remote island and maybe there's only 100 or 200 people on the whole island, every soul needs to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, there's no place to stop. This is the fifth reference to the Great Commission, and it took place on the day of Christ's ascension, and he says, under the uttermost parts of the earth. We are to go everywhere. There's no place to stop. There's no time to stop. Every one of us need to give and go and pray and work and do all that we can so that Christ can receive the reward of his suffering. Notice, Christ said this, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. In Luke, he said, and ye are witnesses. In Matthew, he commanded us to go, and he promised that he would always be with us. In Mark, he talked about the miracles that were going to happen. In Acts, he tells us that there's no place to stop. Under the uttermost part of the earth is where we are to go. Every single one of us have a job to do. Now, maybe there's different pieces of this pie here. Maybe you say, well, I know Christ is with me. I know that I've trusted Christ. I'm a witness of these things. But maybe we're not witnessing as we should. We need to be carrying out the Great Commission. But also understand this, the Great Commission itself, though all of those things have to be true, the Great Commission never stops at just soul winning. It's also teaching people. That's the discipleship. It's also church planting. I praise the Lord that our missionaries are church planting missionaries, because that's biblical. That's how it should be. But every single one of us need to understand what the Great Commission is. Learn about it, study about it, and allow yourself to be fit into that mold of the Great Commission. Because if we're not obeying every part of the Great Commission, understand we're living in disobedience to God's word. May the Lord help all of us to spread the gospel here, because the Great Commission truly is